From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. And that's where we're focusing today's program, following up on our conversation last week about Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse's Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act, which this week was blocked by Senate Democrats in a shameful display of partisan politics that should have been set aside in order to protect children who survive an abortion and are born alive. We'll have audio clips and analysis of the conversation and debate that took place on the Senate floor this past week about the bill and what Senator Sasse is saying now. But first, on a more positive note, this past week was also the president's State of the Union address, which has received widespread praise, and rightfully so. I think it was one of the best, if not the best speeches that the president has given. It was powerful. It was moving. It was unifying. And in what came in a shock to some, President Trump delivered perhaps the strongest pro-life message of any president ever given in a State of the Union address, by proposing strong abortion legislation. Over the last 2 weeks, as we've talked about on the show, this has been the topic of discussion, from New York and Virginia's recent legislation to legalize abortion all the way to birth, as well as the effort of Senator Sasse to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, questions about what limitations there should be or currently are have dominated the news. And in the State of the Union address, President Trump himself shared his thoughts and asked Congress to pass legislation that would end late-term abortions. Here is the message that President Trump delivered.
There could be no greater contrast to the beautiful image of a mother holding her infant child than the chilling displays our nation saw in recent days. Lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb moments from birth. These are living, feeling, beautiful babies who will never get the chance to share their love and their dreams with the world. To defend the dignity of every person, I am asking Congress to pass legislation to prohibit the late-term abortion of children who can feel pain in the mother's womb. And let us reaffirm a fundamental truth. All children, born and unborn, are made in the holy image of God.
These comments from the president during the State of the Union were a welcome relief to many throughout the entire country who were both upset and frustrated by the news coming out of New York and Virginia over the last few weeks. According to a recent article from Focus on the Family highlighting and talking about the president's remarks, this all began with the New York legislature passing a law that would allow abortion until birth, which was celebrated throughout the state by lighting up certain landmarks in pink and by cheering at the state capitol. Virginia then tried to pass a similar measure, and comments made by government officials went viral. A delegate first said that abortion would be allowed even during the early stages of labor, and then the governor argued for infanticide of born-alive children with disabilities. Thankfully, that law was defeated in Virginia. But the callous nature of the responses and the celebration of this legislation in New York was disheartening to many. After the response made by the Virginia governor, our own Senator Ben Sasse asked for a unanimous vote from the U.S. Senate that would protect babies born alive in botched abortions by simply requiring doctors to provide life-saving care that they would provide to any infant under different circumstances that is born alive. So the legislation that Senator Sasse proposed was not a restriction on abortion, but a basic acknowledgement of human life and the reality that sometimes the abortion doctor fails to perform the abortion, resulting in the termination of a preborn child. If a baby is born alive after a botched abortion, it should make sense to protect that child. However, the Democrat leadership did not see it that way. The deflection of duty and basic human dignity is a stain on our society, especially in light of all of the information that science has given us about a developing preborn child. Voting to protect the life of a child born alive after a botched abortion should be a no-brainer, but apparently any attempt to infringe on the right of women to have access to abortion now even includes what Senator Sasse referred to as a fourth trimester abortion, in which the child who is born alive can simply be left to die. And so in light of this, what President Trump said during his State of the Union address is really profound and important, because he was trying to rectify some of what's been going on. He asked Congress to pass legislation that would make abortion illegal after the point where a preborn baby can feel pain, which usually happens at or about 20 weeks or earlier. This legislation would put the United States more in line with the policies of Western Europe than currently the likes of North Korea and China. But Senator Sasse's bill, the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act, doesn't do any of that. It simply provides protections for any infants born alive after attempted abortion procedures. And last week, when Senator Sasse asked for unanimous consent on this bill, Senate Democrats objected. Democratic Senator Patty Murray of Washington objected to the bill on the floor as planned, preventing it from receiving unanimous consent. Senator Murray claimed that the legislation is unnecessary because there are already legal prohibitions on infanticide. Senator Murray was the only Democratic senator to come to the Senate floor and left immediately after objecting. Let that speak for itself. In response to Senator Murray's objection, Senator Sasse noted the recent expansion in New York, which contradicted her claim by removing protections for newborn infants, as well as highlighted the renewed effort to push this bill in Virginia, as well as their governor's comments appearing to defend allowing newborn infants to die. And so here is what Senator Sasse said on the floor this past week about the bill and the vote that took place. And you'll hear in the speech that he gives, he also quotes several senators who have already announced that they are running for the 2020 presidential nomination on the Democratic side, putting their words back in their face to consider as they prepared to vote on this bill. And people need to hear it. So take a listen to Senator Ben Sasse from this past week, pleading with his colleagues to support the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act.
In a few minutes, the United States Senate is going to have an opportunity to condemn infanticide. 100 United States senators are going to have an opportunity to unanimously say the most basic thing imaginable, and that is that it's wrong to kill a little newborn baby. Every senator will have the opportunity to stand for human dignity, to stand for the belief that in this country, all of us are created equal. Because if that equality means anything, surely it means that infanticide is wrong. Frankly, this shouldn't be hard. Politicians come to this floor every single day and talk about how they care for the poorest or the weakest or the most marginalized members of our society. In recent weeks, I've heard it stated this way, in powerful, eloquent, and from some ambitious senators, very clear terms about human dignity. One of my distinguished colleagues recently on the campaign trail declared rightly that, quote, the people in our society who are the most often targeted by predators are also most often the voiceless and the vulnerable, close quote. Amen to that. Another Democratic senator seeking the presidency said, quote, they seek to build a country where no one is forgotten and no one is left behind. Amen to that. Giving words of hope and encouragement, a third senator reminded us that, quote, no matter where you live in America, no matter where you live in America, you deserve a path to opportunity, close quote. Amen to that. A fourth continued, that this individual was committed to, quote, fight for other people's kids as hard as they would fight for their own, close quote. And yet again, amen. But sadly, in the last week, these beautiful and inspiring words have been choked out by the ugliness and the cruelty from another public official. In Virginia, disgraced Governor Ralph Northam tarnished the American idea of equality under law. He betrayed the universal truth of human dignity, and he turned the stomachs of civilized people, not just in this country, but in every country on earth. Governor Northam endorsed infanticide. Quote, here's what he said. Quote, the infant would be kept comfortable, the infant would be resuscitated, if that's what the mother and the family desired, and then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother, close quote. This was the quote, that the infant would be kept comfortable and resuscitated if that's what the mom and the doctors wanted to do, and then they could have a debate about what to do next. He was literally talking about allowing space and time for a discussion of infanticide. No euphemisms, no weasel words there. Infants could be kept comfortable and resuscitated, and also baby girls could be left cold and alone to die. Just a few years ago, the abortion lobby was really clear in its talk about hoping that abortion would be safe and legal, but rare. This was the slogan. Abortion would be safe, legal, and rare. Now we're talking about keeping a baby comfortable while the doctors have a debate about infanticide. That is what we're talking about here on the floor tonight. We're not talking about second trimester abortion. We're not having some big complicated discussion about a mother's reproductive freedom, as important as all those debates are. We are actually talking about babies that have been born. The only debate on the floor tonight is about infanticide. The abortion industry's PR army couldn't defend this. Many in the national media decided to try to overlook it, but none of us in this body can escape it. What we're talking about on the Senate floor tonight is infanticide. And instead of saying he misspoke, instead of offering an apology, the governor of Virginia decided to double down on the ugliness and the cruelty. This isn't about a clump of cells. This is about fourth trimester abortion. That's actually what we're talking about here tonight. Governor Northam is a disgraced coward, and he has such an abysmally low view of human dignity that he couldn't bring himself to say this basic truth. It's wrong to let little babies who've been born die. He couldn't say it. This isn't about Republicans and Democrats. We're way beyond that. Everyone in the Senate ought to be able to say unequivocally that the little baby deserves life, that she has rights, and that killing her is wrong. And tonight, every member of this body has that chance. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act prohibits exactly the kind of infanticide that Governor Northam was endorsing. That's it. That's what the legislation is about. It's based on the simple idea that every baby deserves a fighting chance. It's a simple idea that every human being is an image bearer. Even the weakest and the most marginalized among us are no less human, and every one of us has a moral obligation to defend the defenseless. It's my understanding that some of my Democratic colleagues are prepared to object tonight. I humbly say that I don't understand why, and I beg you from the bottom of my heart not to do so. Please don't betray the ideals that have been so eloquently expressed. Please don't reduce truths to an empty campaign slogan, and please don't take the principle of dignity and equality this cheaply. There are only two sides of the debate on the floor tonight. You're either for babies or you're defending infanticide. That is actually what the legislation is that's before us. Please don't block this legislation. Please don't let Governor Northam define you. Don't let an extremist pro-abortion lobby and pledge hold you hostage. Please don't protect infanticide.
So as usual, Senator Sasse is articulate, well-spoken, passionate, and completely correct when he says that we are actually talking about babies that have been born. The only debate is about infanticide. This is about fourth trimester abortion. Everyone in the Senate ought to be able to say that the little baby who has been born deserves life, that she has rights, and that killing her is wrong. But listen to what happened as soon as Senator Sasse asked for unanimous consent to the bill.
Mr. President.
Senator from Washington.
Mr. President, we have laws against infanticide in this country. This is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill that is being asked to be considered, and therefore I object.
Objection is heard.
With all due respect, Mr. President.
Senator from Nebraska.
to the senator from Washington, the bill that we're talking about before this body tonight is because New York and Virginia, New York already, and Virginia in debate are having a conversation about removing exactly these protections. This debate is about infanticide and infanticide only, and this is a sad day for this body. It shouldn't be controversial to say that a newborn child deserves to be treated with dignity and humanity. It shouldn't be difficult to say that babies who survive an abortion shouldn't be left to die cold and alone on that table. I'm sad, but I'm not discouraged, Mr. President. I'm actually encouraged by the strong group of senators who have co-sponsored this legislation and who have come to the floor to support it tonight. And I'm encouraged by the millions and millions and millions of pro-life Americans who continue to speak the truth in love. There's legislative work that we need to do, but far more importantly, in the movement for love and life and science and little babies, what we need to have happen is a lot more persuasion and a lot more conversation with our neighbors. And a number of my colleagues on the floor tonight are prepared to do just that.
And again, as soon as this happened, Senator Murray, who objected to this, just left, got the heck out of there, because it's indefensible what happened. And following Senator Sasse's remarks, several Republican senators spoke on the Senate floor in support of the bill. Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa said, quote, "This is the world's greatest legislative body. There is nothing great, there is nothing moral or even humane about the discussion that we have before us today. Somehow this conversation has devolved so completely that a bill prohibiting the murder of children who are born alive, a bill that simply prohibits infanticide, has tonight been blocked on the Senate floor." And it's one of the other Republican senators who spoke next that I want to focus on. Senator Josh Hawley, a new Republican senator from Missouri, who spoke on the Senate floor for the first time, not just speaking for the first time about this issue, but just the first speech he has given, period, on the floor of the U.S. Senate. And it was really remarkable. This is the type of leadership that we need. And I certainly see Senator Hawley as an up-and-coming rising star in the Republican Party. And you'll hear why for yourself when we play the remarks that Senator Hawley gave in response to what took place last week. We can't get this issue wrong. It's too important, and we all have to do our part in our day. And that's what Senator Hawley spoke to. Take a listen.
Mr. President, I rise in support of Senate Bill 130, which I am proud to co-sponsor. This legislation would ensure that healthcare providers treat babies born alive after failed abortion attempts with the same care they would treat any other baby born at the same stage of pregnancy. And I also want to thank the senator from Nebraska for his leadership on this issue and for bringing this issue to the floor. You know, in one sense, it's very hard to imagine that this legislation is even necessary. In the United States of America, in the 21st century, when every day new advanced technologies bring new revelations about the wonders of human life, it is hard to fathom the extremism, the politicians in New York and now Virginia who would deny the protections of law to the most vulnerable members of our society, the innocent unborn, and allow them to be aborted, allow them to be killed right up to the moment of birth. It is hard to comprehend statements like those of Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, who said that if he had his way, infants who survived abortion attempts would be delivered and kept comfortable, that's his phrase, kept comfortable while the doctor and the parents decided her fate. Is this really what it has come to in the United States? Is this really the social vision of today's Democrat Party? Because frankly, I can't imagine a vision less just or less consistent with the goodness and compassion of the American people. But in another sense, Mr. President, perhaps we should not be so surprised. After all, the cruelty and extremism advocated by a growing number of Democrat politicians was the conventional wisdom for much of recorded history. We often hail the ancient Greeks as the founders of democracy. But of course, most of the Greeks believed that most humans were born to be slaves and that their lives were utterly worthless. Oh, they had a democracy, of course, but it was the democracy of the few ruling over the many. Romans took the same view. They kept most of their subjects in chains. They infamously killed children they didn't want, leaving them to be exposed on hillsides or desert places. Romans had a republic, but citizenship was for the few. The strong ruled. Most lives, they thought, didn't matter. This has been the general rule of the ages. The Aztecs, Maya, Inca, all practiced child sacrifice. Archaeologists recently discovered a burial ground dated to the Chimú Empire in Peru, where more than 140 children were dismembered in a ritual of sacrifice. And so it has gone down through the years. The strong prey upon the weak. The few rule the many. Individual lives don't count. But Mr. President, we here in the United States of America hold to a different conviction. Our Constitution was written. The whole edifice of American liberty depends on a very different belief, a belief as simple as it is powerful, that every life matters. We believe, and it is our pride to believe, that every person has dignity and worth, worth that is not given to them by the strong or the rich, that does not come to them from the state or the city, that does not depend on place of birth or social status, but is theirs by right because of who they are. Human beings created in the image of the living God. That is our faith. And against the drift of history, it is a revolutionary creed. It is a creed that inspired the early Christians to rescue those infants the Romans left to die and bring them up to be free. It led them to found hospitals and schools and later universities on the supposition that all people should be cared for, that all can learn, that all can govern themselves. It is a creed that has brought down empires and raised up the forgotten. It is the faith of our Constitution and of our whole way of life. And yes, we have struggled to realize it in this nation. We have struggled to make it real. We have fallen short many times. But this struggle for this faith defines our history and binds us together as Americans. And this faith is again at issue in our time. Now, I know some are tempted when they see this rising tide of barbarism and cruelty to feel despair. But I am not. I think of the words of Lincoln, who spoke of the unfinished work of this nation. And I take courage that all these years later, we are a revolutionary nation still. So we must press forward in this generation for our revolutionary faith. Let us not go back to the darkness and cruelty of the past. Let us not go back to the arbitrary rule of the powerful and the few. Let us affirm again our founding belief in the equal worth and equal dignity of all. And as we do, Mr. President, we will do our part for liberty and justice in our day. I yield the floor.
I don't know if it can be stated any better than that. Republican Senator Josh Hawley bringing it home, talking about the value and dignity of every human life and the unfinished work of this nation. An incredible speech. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, following Senator Hawley, noted that the Senate is willing to affirm resolutions by unanimous consent to congratulate the New England Patriots on winning the Super Bowl, but remains unwilling to affirm Senator Sasse's legislation, and that should give us all pause. Republican senators are expected to keep pressure on the issue and push for a roll call vote in the near future, and rightfully so. It is time that we pass Senator Sasse's Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, and once again, Nebraska Family Alliance remains committed to supporting Senator Sasse in this and thank him for his tremendous efforts on this issue. And lastly, here in Nebraska at the state capitol, we are headed into day 23 of the 2019 legislative session. There is a lot happening. Sanctity of life, religious freedom, school choice, parental rights. You can read more about it and follow all of the bills that we are working on at Nebraska Family Alliance by visiting our website, nebraskafamilyalliance.org. Being engaged starts with being informed, and we hope that you will join us in advancing family, freedom, and life in Nebraska. That's all the time we have for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.